Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 30th day of October, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And you know what, folks? The insanity just keeps rising towards a crescendo, maybe even a nuclear climax. Hey, we're coming up on the high satanic holy day. What do you want to bet the fireworks may end up starting the same time as the satanic kitty sacrifice? And given what happened over the weekend and what we expect to happen real soon now, there's literally so much going on so many fronts that I'm going to simply begin with a whole bunch of shotgun news headlines in a bunch of different areas, some of which are really important, others of which are the real smokescreen. By now, you probably know that the situation on the Mideast front of World War III is literally accelerating by the hour. So we'll come back to that one because it'll probably have changed by the time I get there anyway. Is the Gaza invasion on, for example? Well, it seems to be. Israeli tanks say a number of stories have rolled into the area, but I have a suspicion that if you think what we're seeing yet is the invasion, in other words, the real fireworks, just wait. Meanwhile, though, there's this. Lots of stories about troop movements, and in particular, naval forces. At least one story is saying we've now seen the largest gathering of naval firepower in the Mediterranean and Middle Eastern area since World War II. And ponder this, folks, much of it allegedly at the command of a senile imposter who can't even handle his own pamper changes, and arguably can't tell a nuclear football from a briefing cheat sheet. And this is what the world is on the brink of nuclear world war to encourage. So here we go. A quick look at some of the other stuff you're probably not going to hear much about because, hey, there are so many other catastrophes just exploding for your attention. The criminal dictator of California, Gruesome Newsom, he was over talking to his benefactors, has posed for wannabe presidential photo ops, says the Daily Mail's coverage. And how's it for ironic when they come right out and admit it with Chinese communists and naively, they say, ignores their awful record. Wait a minute. That's no surprise because the Ministry of Truth certainly ignores his, and as Congressman Mike Gallagher, chairman of the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, writes, there have been a lot of D words thrown around to describe the evolving U.S.-China relations, decoupling, de-risk, diversifying, disentangling, but Newsom's marital metaphor was a new one, and perhaps nuptials were in fact on the communist dictator of California's mind because Xi Jinping just treated him to a week-long honeymoon, clearly attuned to the Newsom presidential aspirations, and the fact that they seem to be eager for a younger, less obviously senile, but certainly even more obviously communist and naive administration. Said the Congress critter, I've criticized Biden's diplomatic accommodation of Beijing, but Newsom's egregious overseas display makes Biden's foreign policy look like Bismarck-level realpolitik. Because to believe that the CCP could be a trusted partner on environmental issues is, as Oscar Wilde said about second marriages, the triumph of hope over experience. And I think he's putting it mildly. Because he then goes on to focus on the fact that China's opening up an average of 2 new coal-fired plants every week, 6 times more, he opines, than the rest of the world combined, as if that was somehow a big bad thing, when in fact it just proves he's drinking the green Kool-Aid. The problem isn't that they're coal-fired. We can now make very clean coal-fired power plants. It's just that China isn't, but the so-called environmental experts don't even know the difference. In other words, they're closing down really clean coal-fired power plants in the United States and building really dirty ones right and left in communist China, which the left just loves to ignore unless they're still providing energy on American soil. But even there, they miss the mark. This is about a communist dictator that runs the left coast and the future staging area for the invasion from the Pacific, openly meeting with the communists that want to run that invasion and the country. As if that wasn't already tragically obvious. Here's another item. I think it's at least peripherally related from the same source. Venezuela's worst gangsters, it says, have crossed into the U.S. illegally. Who could have imagined such a thing? And are now unleashing chaos in the leftist cities of Dallas, Chicago, and Miami, with fearful residents there saying they've had their tires slashed, windows shot out, in retribution for daring to report them to the cops. And this is a real no-brainer, folks. The subheading says, these thugs are abusing the U.S. asylum laws, sick, at the non-existent southern border, they left that part out, in order to blend in with the other masses of invaders and refugees. They said legitimate refugees, and you know what they say, like the punchline from the old lawyer joke, it's the 97% that give the good ones a bad name. And all it takes is a few dozen terror cells or so to give the entire country a really bad day, and we've got many, many times more than that already. Which takes me finally to a story that should be front page news on every honest newspaper in the country. Well, right there, you know why you're not seeing it. And at least certain aspects of this are single-sourced. Others you are certainly going to hear about from the Waystream Ministries of Truth. First, the piece that may or may not be single-sourced, the one I'm looking at comes courtesy of author Vox Day and his website. It's alleged, he writes, that former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows was actually working, and this is going to be a shocker, folks, well, maybe not really if you've been paying attention, was actually working as an informant for the Federal Bureau of Investigation against the duly elected President Donald Trump while President Trump was still in office. Ryan Fournier is quoted 26 October of this year as saying, breaking, allegedly Mark Meadows worked for the FBI as an informant and wore a wire to record all conversations with President Trump while he was chief of staff to him. This, of course, if it actually happened, does anybody at this point not at least think it's plausible, folks? This, he said, is not only unconstitutional, but it's criminal. And that seems to be pretty well par for the course now, doesn't it? This is the government we live with, he said, and it's up to us to change that. I've received information from multiple members of Congress and confidential informants that this is true. And not only has he said he's received calls from current members of Congress, he's gotten calls from the media who all now know that he knows about this information. I've received calls from former members of Congress who've also explained the very same thing to me. This, he says, is worse than Watergate, and I would say, duh, on that score. This, he says, and oh, that this part could be true, folks, is going to be the destruction of the FBI. Quick aside here, folks. Anybody remember the Roman history and the Praetorian Guard? Do we have any doubt whatsoever that Donald Trump wouldn't have survived if he didn't know about the Praetorian Guard when he entered the Oval Office? Now, writes Vox Day, I'm a very skeptical individual, and while I had no doubt that the surveillance state was spying on President Trump for decades, and we know that they were spying on him, and they were absolutely trying to undermine him the entire time he was in office, the allegation that they even suborned the chief of staff is almost incredible. And folks, if you've watched this chief of staff, I can't help but think, at least it's consistent with what we've seen. If this is confirmed, says Vox Day, it means that the worst suspicions of the most paranoid conspiracy theorists are probably on the conservative side of the real truth. It means that literally nothing in Washington can be taken at face value. And again, I have to say, duh, you already knew that. Whether it's Republican, Democrat, democracy, representation, none of those things are real. None of them can be taken seriously. That goes double, folks, for rigged elections. And all of it, he says, means that American politics are simply theater for the masses. And I say again, tell me why we're surprised. And while it doesn't seem likely, and here at least I have to agree, if these revelations actually did mean the end of the FBI eventually, that would, without question, be a good thing. And I'll admit it again, I think the actual end of the FBI is about the only thing in this entire story that I have trouble thinking is not at least credible. Which brings me to the rest of the story, the part that the Waystream is all a flutter about, and which does basically, for that reason, if not others besides, reek to high heaven. Now, as for the BS that's going to be spread thick and wide, like this one from ABC News, the same thing is up on Newsweek and you name it. Oh, yeah, and The Guardian out of London. Sources say that Mark Meadows informed the eminently respectable, unimpeachable Jack Smith and his team at least three times this year, once when he testified before a federal grand jury, that he told President Trump in the weeks after the rigged 2020 presidential election that the allegations of significant voting fraud coming to them were baseless. Pay no attention to it. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Hey, who are you going to trust, me or your lion eyes? A striking break, back to the piece here, it says, from Trump's prolific rhetoric regarding the election. And according to those same sources, Meadows also told the federal investigators, SICK, that Trump was being dishonest with the public when he first claimed to have won the election only hours after polls closed on November 3rd, before the final and ultimately, as we now know in hindsight, incredibly unbelievable rigged results, and guess what wasn't in the story here, folks, were fully manipulated and, certified. And listen to this, folks, quote, obviously we didn't win, said a source, quoting Meadows, to Smith's team in hindsight. And the irony here is that Meadows does seem to have been on that team, and they did win. It just took a while for the American people to figure out how rigged the game was. Oh, yeah. Case in point,
the Waystream is also reporting this. Donald Trump's former White House chief of staff, the scurrilous, arguably traitorous Mark Meadows, testified to a federal grand jury about efforts by the actually elected president to overturn the rigged results of the 2020 election. You see how you can spin this either way? All you have to do is just look at the truth and ask yourself what really makes sense, what is consistent with the laws of physics, economics, and what we know about statistics, as well as human nature. And what can we probably guess just might be happening when they close the counting rooms to lawful observers, put up blackout curtains in the windows, and then produce results that are literally, statistically, beyond unbelievable? Not to mention an insult to your intelligence. Yeah, the senile guy who never came out of his basement got more votes than any other candidate ever in all of American history. Oh, yeah, and that laptop we lied about and said was Russian disinformation? Well, ha ha. You bought it for a while, didn't you? Anyway, after the scumbag received immunity from the other scumbag, special counsel Jack Smith and his team of persecutors, according to ABC News last week, and now chortled by lots and lots of others. At this point, folks, I only have one additional comment when it comes to Mark Meadows, who I quite frankly didn't trust even before we all knew he was a traitor. And if I was the president and this son of a, you know what, was my chief of staff, well, after I got over wondering why I would ever pick such a scumbag to begin with, and he came to me and said, Mr. President, don't worry about it. The election wasn't rigged. Nope, they stole it from you fair. No, there, he's not going to say that, even though you know that's what he should have said. If Trump had other evidence, and we now know that he did, as do we, that Meadows was lying through his damnable teeth, I wouldn't have believed him either. But hey, if you give somebody immunity for testifying in court, does that really matter when we don't have a rule of law anymore? Quick related story. The foreign-born, un-American, Obama-appointed scumbag masquerading as a judge, Tanya Chutkan, initiated a gag order on the actually elected president a while back, as you probably recall, then briefly at least said, oh, I'm going to suspend it, and then has now turned around and said, no, I think I can get away with it. It's back in play. As Politico put it, the so-called judge has, quote, reinstated a gag order against former President Donald Trump, lifting the temporary hold she herself placed on it early in the month, claiming it had to do with, well, let's just see what they come up with to try to overturn it. She rejected Trump's request to lift those unconstitutional limits she put on his public statements while he pursues the appeal already filed with a real judge, if he can find one. Writes Jim Hoff for the Gateway Pundit, this is complete lawlessness. Even the far-left ACLU later filed a brief arguing that the overly broad gag order imposed on the actually elected president, Donald J. Trump, in the ongoing election interference case violates, gee, do you think, the First Amendment. And it turns out, says Hoff, the original Trump gag order was even worse than we thought, because it says that Trump cannot criticize the so-called special counsel, Jack Smith, or any of his minions, is telling the truth, and Smith is lying. Let's see if we can't update just a bit of the World War III front information. Some headlines here from throughout the morning. The Israeli Defense Forces, or IDF, say they have killed dozens of Hamas militants, among them commanders, as they push deeper and deeper into Gaza. Tanks have been seen on Monday on the outskirts of Gaza City, blocking a key road linking the northern and southern halves of the strip. Hamas has announced they're engaged in, quote, heavy fighting with the invading occupation force. The IDF has confirmed more Israeli troops have been surged into the strip. There are, as you might suspect, lots and lots of stories about other nations, like Turkey, deciding to enter the war and accelerate it to true nuclear international status. This one says, flash traffic added, Turkish Navy is now deploying 100 ships against Israel and 50 U.S. military transport planes within 24 hours to the Middle East. I guess all I'll say at this point is, if it gets really bad, you probably won't be able to hear this news show when you need it. But on the other hand, you might see something right out the window that'll give you a hint. And since we're almost out of time and I need to get this show up before the deadline, I'm going to do a quick bit of Wayback Machine hearkening to some stories that may in fact be moot at this point, other than the way they impact the Democrats and whether they'll be able to get away with running the senile bribe taker again. But you'll see they do reflect on the world war that we're now seeing accelerate, and these are comments that he made all the way back in June of this year. That does today lead me to a couple of stories about the presidential candidacy of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who certainly is not necessarily your host's cup of tea. Obviously, there are a lot of things we would have very sincere disagreements about, but I admire the man's candor and his ability to see through at least some of the BS and speak his mind. He's certainly been a lone voice when it comes to pointing out the, genocide associated with the Zyklon B injections. But RFK Jr. and his Children's Health Defense Fund have been ahead of the curve on the vaccination issue for a long, long time. The Daily Mail has a piece where he even weighed in on the open border with Mexico and blasted the Biden Fuhrer for the idiocy of the invasion. Here's how they put it. Democrat presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has accused Joe Biden of presiding over an open border with Mexico and allowing thousands, well, how about hundreds of thousands, millions even, of migrants to illegally break into the U.S. The 69-year-old presidential candidate called the situation unsustainable, claiming that asylum seekers are allowed to roam freely shortly after sneaking across the border. Speaking on social media, RFK Jr. said illegal aliens are flocking to the U.S. because there is an understanding, quote, across the globe that we now have an open border. There are people being drawn here, said the Kennedy scion. This is not a good thing for our country. In an interview he gave during a trip to Yuma, Arizona, Kennedy said his visit to the border had exposed a dystopian nightmare. He also met with local farmers in the border community who've been impacted by the surge in invaders and said Yuma County provides 90% of the green leafy vegetables like iceberg lettuce, arugula, spinach, and broccoli to American tables between November and April. And the tsunami of migrants walking across farm fields and defecating in irrigation canals threatens the safety of that food supply. Last year, he continued, one of their neighbors had to plow under 88 acres of broccoli and personally absorb the $10,000 per acre cost after migrants tainted irrigation water. And in spite of the slant of the leftist article that basically he can't win, even though he's pro-choice, and even though he's pandering to right-wingers by promising to close the border if he becomes president, well, they say party apparatchiks rallying around Joe Biden will probably be able to prevent a proper primary challenge. Still, though, Kennedy has portrayed himself as the only viable left-of-center alternative to the aging and gaffed-prone, they left out the word senile, along with fake, commander-in-chief. But at least this part comes close to the truth. Since the campaign launched in Boston back on April 19th, Robert F. Kennedy's been trying to tap into Democrat voter malaise over the lack of an alternative to the increasingly fragile Joe Biden. And the word they clearly left out there was incompetent. Kennedy also did another interview with Elon Musk via Twitter. This one seems to have made a few waves, even though for the most part the waste stream is trying to ignore the guy. But as usual, they start with demonizing and labeling. Yesterday begins a piece by Michael Schellenberger and Leighton Woodhouse on their public Substack, also via Zero Hedge. The Democrat presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. appeared in a Twitter Spaces panel co-hosted by not only Elon Musk, but also Tulsi Gabbard and venture capitalist David Sachs. The man spoke for over 2 hours on a range of issues, including the war in Ukraine, energy policy, gun control. He's for it, by the way. Even if he thinks correctly that the way the Biden regime is going about it is not only counterproductive, but intended to spark a civil war. And the origins of the SARS-CoV-2 Fauci flu and subsequent bioweapons. And Kennedy deplored the corporate takeover of the Democratic Party, excoriated Biden's pro-war instincts, and decried the domination of U.S. foreign policy by what he called neocons. Oh yeah, and he promoted so-called renewable energy as well. So the guy does have at least a few really big blind spots. Not that there's a problem with renewable energy, folks. It's just that most of what the leftist nutcases are pushing isn't even remotely renewable. Yet, though, according to the New York Times and CNN, it was an orgy of right-wing conspiracy theorizing. Here's how the toilet paper of record put it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a scion of one of the country's most famous Democratic families, they wrote, dived into the full embrace of a host of conservative figures who eagerly promoted his long-shot primary challenge to, the Biden Fuhrer. On Monday, they said, he sounded like a candidate far more at ease in the mushrooming Republican presidential contest. Well, and that's a bald-faced lie, folks. Almost all of the new ones are nothing but Big Brother deep state shills. Which kind of makes the author's point because, well, says Schellenberger, in a pre-Trump America, Kennedy, an anti-war, pro-free speech, environmentalist, and fierce critic of corporate power, would have been universally regarded as a far-left candidate in the mold of Ralph Nader or his current campaign manager, Dennis Kucinich. He once called for the Koch brothers to be criminally prosecuted. Kennedy believes that the war in Ukraine is being fueled by, quote, the neocons in the White House who want, quote, regime change with the Russians. And in his campaign announcement speech, he described his mission as ending, and I like this term, the corrupt merger of state and corporate power that is threatening to impose a new kind of corporate feudalism in our country, unquote. And the other word, folks, is, in fact, fascism. But a dizzying political realignment has now scrambled, says the author, all of the traditional categories, and left in its wake just two sides. Not left and right anymore, but insider and outsider. And no matter the substance of one's beliefs, at least to the media, outsider means, by default, right-wing conspiracy theorist. And can't argue with that. And in yesterday's conversation, the shift was lost on nobody, including Kennedy. Quote, the Democrats slowly became pro-corporate, pro-war, and pro-censorship, he said, and Republicans became anti-censorship, pro-civil liberties, and anti-war. There's been this tremendous realignment. And one thing was clear, his rising profile has ignited a media backlash that, says the author, and I can't help but agree, seemed pretty much orchestrated. His, quote, crackpot claims and outlandish views have won him favor from the right, said Vanity Fair. The Business Insider called the conversation on Twitter, quote, a bizarre Twitter Spaces conversation littered with falsehoods and conspiracy theories. And they dismissed Kennedy's, quote, odd and occasionally incoherent policy positions. The Rolling Stone sneered at his outlandish and pseudo-scientific ideas and labeled him a fringe candidate, while Esquire called him a raving anti-vaxxer and lambasted the very idea of somebody daring to challenge the senile Biden Fuhrer in the primary. You know what? It all sounds like the outright communists are petrified of the idea of a real Democrat running against their senile CCP puppet. And just listen to the WAPO and how Michael Shear put it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. tests the conspiratorial appetite of Democrats, he said, and campaigns on the idea that powerful people have been working in secret to deceive you, unquote. And who could imagine somebody would actually come right out and tell them the truth? Says the author, the WAPO may believe the public's distrust of the elite is nothing more than a conspiracy theory, but if the last few years have taught us anything, it's that powerful people have, in fact, been doing exactly that, working in secret to deceive us. Consider, he says, how many conspiracy theories that Kennedy has pointed out have turned out to be true. Documents leaked by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden showed the U.S. government was indeed spying on millions, well, how about all Americans, without needing a warrant, without their knowledge, and that such claims of widespread surveillance were neither paranoid nor conspiracy theories. And Obama's director of national intelligence famously lied to Congress about surveillance before Ed Snowden revealed the truth. Number two, Jeffrey Epstein may have been running a honeypot blackmail operation with full knowledge of the CIA, whose director frequently visited him, according to private emails. Number three, the evidence today is overwhelming that Joe Biden's son and his brother sold access to the VP for all kinds of money as long as a big guy got his cut. And that included not only the Communist Chinese Party, but lots of connections to military intelligence. Number four, the Biden regime and media elites have aggressively pushed for bans and restrictions on natural gas stoves, while claiming that those who dared to point out what they were doing were spreading conspiracy theories. Number five, the U.S. really did manage biolabs in Ukraine, despite propaganda from NPR and the widespread dismissal of anything remotely approaching the truth from the criminally negligent networks. Number six, the Pentagon did indeed cover up evidence of UFOs for decades. And number seven, emails show that the former director of the NIAID, the infamous Dr. Mengele of America, Tony Fauci, and NIH Director Francis Collins conspired to spread the lie that the COVID lab leak, which they claim was a conspiracy theory, was not in fact what it turned out to be, at minimum. Yeah, it was a bioweapon. Gain of function produced it. American taxpayers paid for it, and a lot of people have died. And that part is only just begun. Says the author here, Kennedy's zealous support for free speech runs counter to the media's goal of combating disinformation by monitoring and censoring everything and anything they don't like. And all of this is an existential threat to the waystream media. So outlets like the WAPO, New York Times, and CNN are doing everything they can to discredit both the platform and Kennedy's candidacy. And that alone, folks, makes him a force to be reckoned with and at least paid attention to. If nothing else, it's very refreshing. Thanks for being with us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.